This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com. We're about to listen to the Dr. Dahlia Show. Sassy, stimulating medical talk radio. Any medical advice Dr. Dahlia Wax gives on her show should not be substituted for an actual visit to your medical provider. And now, here's Dr. Dahlia.
Doctor, give me the news. I got a bad case loving you.
All right, guys, we are back on the Dr. Dahlia Show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOC-DALI, 1-877-DOC-DALI. Well, a while back I was posed a question. How come type 1 diabetics aren't at the same priority as type 2 diabetics when it comes to the COVID vaccine? Now, some states are starting to move towards medical conditions and who gets the vaccine. And even though the UK puts type 1 and type 2 in the same tier, the CDC in America has diabetics at a higher tier than type 1 diabetics. And News 3 local Las Vegas had asked me to kind of comment as to why and, you know, what the difference is. So really quickly, diabetes is a condition where your body doesn't metabolize the sugar correctly, where your cells need sugar, and the sugar that comes in through your mouth, okay, into your body, gets into the bloodstream once it gets absorbed, right, in your small intestine, that sugar needs to get from the bloodstream into the cell, or needs to get from the hallway into the room. Your pancreas is an organ that makes insulin. Insulin is like the key that helps get that sugar from the hallway into the room or the bloodstream into the cell. A type 1 diabetic doesn't make insulin. And when you don't get the sugar from the bloodstream into the cell, you're starving. These type 1 diabetics are pretty skinny. They also have too much sugar in their bloodstream, which I'll talk about in a second. I've spoken about this before. We've got a lot of new listeners now. Yay, welcome. And so we have to give a type 1 diabetic insulin right away so that they can feed their cells the sugar that we need sugar. Our body relies on sugar and glucose. So we give them insulin. They're dependent on insulin because that's what they're lacking. We really can't do oral medications. We give them insulin, and it's something that they have to, unfortunately, be on for life. They have to monitor their levels all the time. They're constantly poking their fingers or using those, sensors. And so it's pretty debilitating. You know, I think we have, 1.6 million people with currently, we have to have more that are type 1 diabetics. Type 2 diabetes are, we used to call it adult onset, but we're seeing type 2 diabetes in multiple age groups. We're also seeing variants like a 1.5 type diabetes, which we've talked about before. But if I could just generalize, type 2 diabetics had insulin as a child. Their pancreas made insulin, but something happened with the pancreas. Either the beta islet cells aren't making enough insulin, or the insulin that's being made isn't really working. The keys are kind of, you know, weird shaped. Maybe they're kind of rusty. Who knows? You know, like an old key. Or there's something pushing against the door where you got plenty of insulin and there's something pushing against the door, not letting, right, insulin do its job. That's called insulin resistance. So we see type 2 diabetes in those who are obese, overweight. We see people who have kind of abused their pancreas, you know, only eating one meal a day, maybe eating too much sugar. Sometimes we see diabetes in people that crash diet. I think Tom Hanks has diabetes. I need to double check. And I believe one theory we had was he would have to crash diet for like Castaway or for Forrest Gump. You know, when you crash diet and then you eat and I don't think the pancreas likes it too much. And there's also theories that maybe it's a virus that affects the pancreas. And maybe that same virus that affects the pancreas could possibly also be implicated in pancreatic cancer, which we sometimes see in diabetics, rarely. So there's a lot of theories as to what happens with a type 2 diabetic, but a lot of type 2 diabetics also have high cholesterol, also have high blood pressure. And like I said, could also be obese. So my guess is what happened is when they were trying to identify those people at higher risk for COVID illness, when it came to vaccine stratification and priority, They were looking at a type 2 diabetic that might be overweight, having high blood pressure, high cholesterol, all these comorbidities, and they said, you know what, you're at higher risk. But somebody with type 1 diabetes, even if they aren't always, you know, having high blood pressure or having obesity, they still can have comorbidities because they have, you know, a lot of sugar in their bloodstream. A lot of sugar in the bloodstream can cause blindness, can cause kidney disease, can cause increased risk of infection, can cause neuropathy, right? Because, you know, the sugar, having blood full of sticky sugar doesn't allow blood to do its job. And we talked about, like, with the eyes, you know, when something is over sugary or salty in nature, it likes to neutralize the osmolarity. So a diabetic is very thirsty. They keep wanting to drink, you know, because they're too osmolar. They're, you know, they're too sugary. And how much fluid can those little blood vessels handle before they burst? And diabetes is very sticky. So it starts to stick and clog your arteries to the heart. So somebody with type 1 diabetes or type 2 diabetes is at high risk for infection, heart disease, blindness, kidney disease, neuropathy, you know, possibility of losing a leg because sugar, bacteria love sugar, fungi love sugar. It'll set up shop. So that's why, you know, you'll hear about these dogs that'll eat gangrenous diabetic toes off their owner because it's so tasty. It's really sugary. I've never tasted somebody else's foot, but the dogs will just, like, eat at it and gnaw at it, you know, because it's sugary. So there was a study in Lancet, Diabetes and Endocrinology Study, published, I believe, in August, that showed that the risk of dying of COVID was almost twice more in a type 1 diabetic than a type 2. Another study looked at African-American men who were at 4 times risk of severe COVID illness if they were a type 1 diabetic. So type 1 diabetes should be on the priority list. I'm not sure what the holdup is. And, you know, people have asked, what's going on? How do we get the COVID vaccine if we have these comorbidities? Well, right now, many of the health departments are right now going from, you know, age 70 down to age 65, getting essential workers taken care of. Medical conditions are going to be in the next phase. And it's going to be very interesting to see how there's the verification. If it's going to need a doctor's note, if it's going to be on the honor system. Remember we told you one state is going to allow smokers to get higher up on the list. Well, you know, you don't need a doctor's note for that. Somebody could have a cigarette in their mouth going, yeah, I smoke. Can I get the vaccine? All right. And you know, how many people are going to take up smoking just to get the vaccine sooner? You have a lot of people going, I'm going to pass on the vaccine, but a good number of people want the vaccine. So can we at least start with baby steps and get type 1 diabetics higher up on the list, please? I think it's ridiculous that they're lower than type 2 diabetics because they should at least be in the same category as we see in the UK. 1-877-DOC-DOLLY. Don't go away. Guys, gals, Dr. Dahlia here. How many of you have just become single and it's been years since you've dated? Well, you need to be careful out there as there's a lot of pitfalls and scams. But there's also true love. So I recommend reading our Baby Boomer's Guide to Online Dating. We'll give you the scoop on scammers, STDs, and what makes the best first date. Go to my website at drdahlia.com and click on the Baby Boomer's Guide to Online Dating. That's drdahlia.com. Hey guys, Dr. Dahlia here. We love our drivers out there, and many of you are in need of renewing your CDL. Well, if you're in Southern Nevada, we've got the place for you. Your DOT physical can be done by calling 702-562-8800 and mention this ad. You'll get a discount. Easy, convenient hours to get you back on the road. So for your CDL DOT physical, call 702-562-8800 and drive safe.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe Hand Sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American made with American ingredients employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus.
That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net. To get our one-liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.
Now, with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano-colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Do you feel like many of us? All the distractions in the world taking our minds and focus off what really needs to get done day to day? Well, Jeunesse has a dietary supplement called Mind to help with mental distraction, and it supports memory function. Go to GCNLife.com now to check it out. You're only at your best when your mind is at its best. Go to GCNLife.com or call toll-free 844-443-6637. That's GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
February is Heart Month. Every year for the month of February, to show our appreciation to Extendivite's faithful customers, we have a sale. If you would like to try Extendivite, now is the time to get a few months ahead and really give Extendivite the time to show you how it works. Most of Extendivite's long-term customers wait for this sale to stock up. People and doctors tell us about the unbelievable improvements that they have experienced in their overall health, not just the heart. Extendivite wants you to experience the power of these herbs. Get a four-month supply for only $115 for either the capsules or tincture. Please take advantage of this once-per-year sale and get healthy for life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
We are back on the Dr. Dahlia Show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOC-DALI, 1-877-DOC-DALI. Big thanks to Genesis Communications Network for making the show happen. Big thanks to Jason who's working the dials. And big thanks to y'all for tuning in. We really do appreciate it. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter, Dr. Dahlia, and on Facebook, the Dr. Dahlia Show. On Facebook, a lot of my Facebook followers are tenants. Or not tenants, landlords and tenants, I should say. And I apologize, something's bothering me there. And when it came to the eviction moratorium, you have a lot of workers where I live, Southern Nevada, out of jobs. If they don't have jobs, the last thing they need is to get kicked out of their apartment. Right? They have kids, they need a place to stay, they need a roof over their head. And so eviction moratoriums were put in place so people could be evicted if they didn't pay the rent. That sounded phenomenal for tenants, but what about the landlords who might lose their, apartment complex or might lose the house? because if they're not getting rent, bank still's like, okay, where's the money? So under the eviction moratoriums, if you had a federally backed loan, you were able to defer payments. You still, I think, had to owe, but you were able to defer payments, so hopefully you could still keep that apartment complex standing or that home standing. Unfortunately, in Southern Nevada, we had a lot of people purchase their homes. A lot of people from California saw about 10, 15 years ago that it was going to be a real good deal to buy up some cheap homes and then turn them into rentals, and that ended up being their income. So for those people, they've been almost a year without rent. But, you know, we have to look at, you know, which is more problematic, people not being in homes, not having homes, or those who own the home. And so, but landlords need help, and I've, you know, echoed that considerably, and this can only last so long. And the pretense was when the eviction moratorium would end, then the renters would have to pay the rent. Well, here we are going into month 10 for some people's eviction moratorium. And 10 months of rent, let's say your apartment costs $1,000. How many people have $10,000, especially if they haven't worked this whole time? So landlords kind of saw the writing on the wall going, we're not going to get our money. In California, they've extended the eviction moratorium till June 30th, I believe. And for many, they're like, hallelujah, praise the Lord, because, you know, this pandemic isn't going away by March 1 or March 31st. But again, landlords are like, guys, we need help. The PPP money that we got back in March isn't covering it, and we still don't have the PPP money this time. So now, finally, there is going to be a stimulus package of some rent relief from the federal government in California. From what I understand, and I got to kind of look at this a little more closely, there will be 80% of a tenant's rent covered, or is it 75%, covered by California. I thought it was 80. I have to double check. And the other 25%, the landlord can still ask for the tenant to pay. If the landlord does not want to do the 80%, from what I understand, California will give at least 25%, and then the landlord is on their own. And landlords know that they're not going to be able to take a lot of these tenants to court because they've already been spending through their assets. They've been out of jobs during the pandemic. So California is offering some of their own assistance. And let me just make sure I get the numbers right for everybody here. All right, for those of you who live in California, then I'll say what's going on nationally. So, yeah, Newsom's plan, Senate Bill 91, would extend eviction protection for 6 months and use federal funding to pay up to 80% of unpaid rent. Landlords will have to either waive the 20% if they want to or not. If they don't go with the deal, then there's another option, which I believe if landlords deny tenants rent forgiveness, the state will only pay 25% of the unpaid debt. Newsom does not want tenants to be evicted before June 30th. So, at least in California, landlords are getting some relief. The problem is it's not enough. It's almost a little too late. All right? You're basically telling landlords that they're going to just take it, and they're going to have to take what they could get. I'd like to know also where California is getting this money. They already have major budget deficits. But luckily, if somebody couldn't pay their rent, hopefully the federal government will step in. And I'm sure that is just a huge relief from people that were panicking about how they were going to pay, because the average person who hasn't had a job was probably going to have to say, sorry, see ya, go after my credit score. What do I have to lose? So the federal government is stepping in. They have an initiative called the Emergency Rental Assistance Program. So President Joe Biden has extended the federal eviction moratorium. And from what we understand, 10 million Americans, nearly a quarter of all renters, owe $57 billion in rent, late fees, and utilities as of January. That's an average of every renter expecting $5,600. So Congress and the Biden administration want to provide more than $25 billion in rental assistance. Who is eligible? Well, it would be at least one member, only one member of the household has to qualify for unemployment, had a reduction in take-home pay, experienced financial hardship due to the coronavirus pandemic, according to the Treasury Department. The applicant has to submit documents to show they are at risk of homelessness, such as eviction notice, and their income is at or below 80% of the median income for their city. So residents in Reno, Nevada, where I guess the median income is $58,790, they couldn't have made more than $47,000 to qualify. And I don't know if that also includes unemployment. So there will be ways to apply for this. Now, where are the logistics? Is the tenant going to get the cash? And then are they going to turn around and give it to the landlord? Or can they take the cash and run? You know, I kind of like what Governor Newsom is doing, is where they will pay the landlord, I'm assuming. Sounds like they will give the money to the landlord. Landlord's going to have to take a 20% loss, but at least they're going to make 80%. But I think it goes direct to the landlord. With this, the rental assistance, it's not going to landlords, it's going to the person. And I see that because, you know, you want the American people happy, so they, you want them to know that they got the money. But how is the federal government going to ensure that that money is going to get to the landlord? Now, my guess is they might do it kind of like the PPP loan program with the payment, the Paycheck Protection Program. Businesses would owe that money if they didn't prove that they spent at the time 75% on employees, 25% on rent. Now they change it to 60% employees, the rest on rent and utilities and things like that. So it would be forgiven, that loan, that money, as long as we showed we spent it on exactly what we were supposed to spend it on. And I thought that was a pretty good idea, you know, assuming you were able to open and work. They gave a time deadline, like only 8 weeks, and many places were still closed, so it didn't make sense. We kind of needed the money when we were allowed to reopen. But in terms of landlords, I'd really like to see how that's going to work. So, you know, landlords need some relief, and this is the very first time we have heard in any of these eviction moratoriums what was going to be in place to help the landlords, because what's turning around and happening? Well, we're hearing from landlords that they aren't going to rent to anybody that skated on their bill. Now, it's not considered skating because the person had a family to support. They were living on unemployment. They didn't have a job. But landlords got spanked really bad with all of this, and they had no relief and nobody to help them. Maybe they got some PPP money, but they had to spend PPP money on employees. They needed money to cover the rent because that's huge rent. So, and if landlords don't have money, then who's upkeeping, who's doing the repairs for the tenants? Who's, you know, keeping up on the water? Who's keeping up on the landscaping? Who's keeping up on the security? So I think, you know, if you need to help, or if you want to help a renter, you got to help the landlord because, you know, these renters, unfortunately, well, so now the next topic is there going to be subjectivity? Will landlords want that person who didn't pay rent for a year out so badly that they will forego the money from the state? So I guess critics looking at Newsom's proposal in California say a landlord might want those people out so badly and get somebody else who will pay, because this pandemic can go on a year or two, that they might forego the money, say get out, and then evictions will still happen. So this is new. We don't have a lot of details on it, but we'll keep you guys posted. 1-877-DOCTOR. Don't forget.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
$50,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
A major internet outage is being reported across several different parts of the northeastern United States. Customers have registered complaints over Verizon and Comcast service from Boston to Washington, D.C. The exact cause of the outage has not yet been identified. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer calls another coronavirus stimulus package an urgent priority. The New York Democrat continues on the Senate floor.
The needs of our country are still great, and the urgency to act is clearer than ever. We are still in the midst of a once-in-a-century crisis that has reshaped our economy and altered nearly every aspect of American life.
Anthony Blinken was confirmed as Secretary of State in a 78-22 vote in the Senate. You're listening to USA Radio News. Pregnant women are being advised to not get Moderna's COVID-19 vaccine, the World Health Organization noting while pregnancy puts women at a higher risk for severe coronavirus, use of the vaccine is not recommended. The agency saying there's no reason to believe the shot would cause problems, but also there's not enough data to support immunizing pregnant women as of yet. The Cactus League is asking Major League Baseball to delay the start of spring training.
The director of Arizona's Spring Training League is asking Major League Baseball to delay the beginning of spring training. 15 teams are scheduled to begin training at team facilities in mid-February, with games beginning on February 27th. In a letter to Commissioner Rob Manfred, Cactus League Executive Director Bridget Binsbacher cited the high rate of COVID-19 infections in the Phoenix area as a reason to wait until March to bring teams in. She said that cases are expected to drop by then as more of the area's residents are vaccinated. From the USA Radio News Ohio Bureau, I'm Dan Naraki.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
All right, guys. We are back on the Dr. Dahlia Show, 1-877-DOC-DALI, 1-877-DOC-DALI. So a question many women have is, if I'm pregnant, can I get the COVID vaccine? And originally, we were told to wait because we didn't have enough data. The Pfizer and Moderna clinical trials didn't really include a lot of pregnant women, if any. And so we were told to wait and we were going to do some studies. But then research had come out last fall on how somebody who is pregnant is at higher risk of severe COVID illness, and they you know, they have a baby and, you know, we don't know what its effect is on the baby. And so if we're going to make sure pregnant women get the flu vaccine, we should probably include pregnant women in the mix. The CDC had come out saying, look, there's not enough data. But if you talk to your doctor and it's something that you want, you know, well, we're not going to say no. So the CDC had kind of been neutral on it. Well, the World Health Organization today said, now, when it comes to the Moderna vaccine, we don't know about the Pfizer or AstraZeneca and Johnson & Johnson, but right now, when it comes to the Moderna vaccine, the World Health Organization said it should not be used on pregnant women. Now, this doesn't really have to do with the side effect. They just cited, while pregnancy puts women at a higher risk of severe COVID, the use of this vaccine in pregnant women is currently not recommended unless they are at high risk, at risk of high exposure. So if you're in the healthcare field, we're seeing a lot of nurses who are pregnant get the vaccine. It's because of the continual exposure they have. And so I think a lot of obstetricians have been kind of supportive of that. And I have a Facebook page called COVID Vaccine Experience, Good, Bad, Neutral. We've had some nurses who are pregnant saying, yeah, I got it. You know, people are like, is it okay? You know, can you do that? And they said, yeah, it's, you know, my doctor said it was fine. So we aren't aware of any adverse events, but we are being told that with the World Health Organization, they want us to maybe wait until we have more data on pregnant women. Now, what could the vaccine do to a pregnant woman? Well, you know, it is mRNA. It's a piece of genetic material that's supposed to go into the cell, have the cell turn around and make proteins, spike proteins. And then those spike proteins are supposed to be identified by an antibody. And then the antibody is supposed to learn how to recognize then the decoy, such that when the real thing comes in, the immune system is primed and ready to go. We don't have any data right now on why it would be bad. But for the World Health Organization to come up with this recommendation, let me see if I have a direct quote. Let me see. They say right here, this is Dr. O'Brien. This is Kate O'Brien, Director of Immunization from the Strategic Advisory Group of Experts on Immunization by the World Health Organization, says there's no reason to think there could be a problem in pregnancy. We are just acknowledging the data is not there at the moment. Health experts are also asking clinics to plan a second dose of the Moderna vaccine within 28 days of the first, even though the gap has been discussed that we could do maybe six-week gap. There's a lot of places saying we're not going to do that. I think France had stopped. They're going back to the 3 weeks Pfizer second dose. If I could just take a step back here, what I think is going on is, you know, kind of par for the course. Things are a little hectic right now. Things are a little chaotic. I know a lot of pregnant women are kind of freaking out because they got the Moderna vaccine already. No need to freak out. I think what's happening here is the World Health Organization wants everybody to kind of slow their roll and make sure that everybody's dotting their I's, crossing their T's, and making sure that we approach this pandemic and we approach vaccine safety with having had a deep breath first. So right now, the Moderna vaccine, they do not believe should be given to a pregnant person unless they are at extreme high risk of severe COVID illness, having, you know, an immunocompromised state, you know, having, you know, severe lung dysfunction, or having like repeated exposure to it. That doesn't mean if you got the vaccine or if your daughter got the vaccine or your niece, anybody needs to panic. Okay? They don't want that. But, you know, this is interesting. Why just Moderna? Why not also Pfizer? What about the recommendation for AstraZeneca? Why Moderna? So I would like to know a little bit more about that. And this kind of just kind of came out of the blue. So, you know, I've been asked, what should we have done different? You know, it's really easy for somebody to be in the news and go, yeah, you know, this is a mess. They're doing a horrible job. I'm not saying anybody's doing a horrible job. I'm saying the whole process has been a cluster, but I don't blame any particular person. I'm not blaming Biden. I'm not blaming Trump. I'm not blaming Fauci. I'm not blaming the CDC. I'm not blaming. This happened because we were caught with our pants down. And we were given very limited information by China about the virus. And this wasn't China's first rodeo. China has had issues with SARS viruses leaking from their lab before. What stinks is this time, we weren't told until they had, what, 80,000 people infected? I forgot the number. And so here we are at the start of 2020, starting to grapple with what do we have here. And people were dying in the ICU of severe respiratory illness that really wasn't fitting flu or pneumonia, like we usually see. And then on top of that, we had people using telemedicine. And, you know, in terms of mild cases, how many people are sick? Well, you know, people get coughs, colds. We couldn't test on telemedicine. So we couldn't tell if somebody had flu or not. People were given Tamiflu and maybe it was COVID. There's a very good chance that COVID was here well into, you know, before in 2019. So we dealt with a virus that we didn't even know was here. We didn't know what it was all about. We don't know if it was tinkered with or not. And then it kind of surprised a lot of the treatments we currently had. We couldn't use Tamiflu or Zovirax or basic antivirals on this. That didn't work. We had to use Remdesivir, something that we don't give orally. It had to be through an IV. We noticed that people vitamin D deficient and smokers, and then the smoking, that went back and forth. And people with, low nutritional status and obesity and things like that. We were trying to figure out who was at high risk because we were looking at the people who were in the hospital sick. Were they older? Were they younger? Were they smokers? Were they pot smokers? And were they vapors? And then in the meantime, when we should have told people to, use some sort of protection, we originally told everybody no. Why? Because we didn't have enough masks and PPE in hospitals. We were very unprepared. We also didn't have enough, and we still don't have enough hospital beds. So when we were in the midst of a flu and pneumonia season, when hospitals are usually overwhelmed, now we add these cases, or they're in a mix. Did we have enough ventilators? Did we have enough masks? Did we have enough medication? Did we have enough COVID tests? Then we had to make COVID tests. Now, again, I'm not being critical because I think the speed at which we made these COVID tests was pretty damn good. I think the speed at which we made the vaccine, that was pretty darn good. I mean, that was pretty impressive what we were able to do having very little information. Where I fault, right, people is I fault the politicians who decided to make these machete-wielding moves that started to destroy businesses, affect people's personal rights, were unconstitutional, and added more insult to injury. Without taking that deep breath and going, look, all right, we have a respiratory virus, we're underprepared with hospitals, rather than go after the bakeries and go after the little restaurants and the delis and the salons and the barbershops, why don't we focus some funding and some energy on making more hospitals, on increasing access to medications, on putting some more money into science so we could see if hydroxychloroquine works or not, or we could see what other treatments work, right? But the focus was, we just need to close everybody down. Same thing with the masks. I'd like to know why we didn't have a focus of starting to make more N95 masks and giving those to the public. So, I think we did some missteps there. But I don't blame the World Health Organization saying let's pause on Moderna vaccine with pregnant women. 1-877-DR.
The new year is here, and the time is now to capitalize on the tech boom in the U.S. markets. The red-hot e-commerce payment sector is on fire with no signs of slowing down. Text the word HOT to 48542. Here's just one example of what you can get with the up-to-minute research from Avid Market Readers. According to Allied Market Research, mobile payments are on track to exceed $12 trillion, and Avid has identified one of the hottest companies in North America that is poised to dominate the mobile payment and e-commerce sector in 2021. Text the word HOT to 48542. 5542 to get your free subscription to Avid Market Readers. We deliver the data directly to your mobile device so you can make decisions as market conditions change. If you're interested in our hit list of the hottest stocks to look at in 2021, then text the word HOT to 48542. Set your investment research strategy to hyper growth mode now with our information delivery system from Avid Market Readers. Text HOT to 48542 now and don't get left behind in 2021. Text HOT to 48542.
Hi guys, Dr. Dahlia here. How many of you have kids or grandkids or students who have boo-boos? We all do. And sometimes we need to take care of the cut, the fever, the burn, the tummy ache before we get to a medical provider. Well, me and other physicians have created an easy guide called The Art of the Boo-Boo. The Art of the Boo-Boo helps you with easy bite-sized chapters and guides you through the most common issues infants and kids face. Get it on Amazon or on my website at drdahlia.com at a very low price. Give it to your teacher or family as gifts. The Art of the Boo-Boo. We make it easy. Hey guys, gals, Dr. Dahlia here. How many of you have just become single and it's been years since you've dated? Well, you need to be careful out there as there's a lot of pitfalls and scams. But there's also true love. So I recommend reading our Baby Boomer's Guide to Online Dating. We'll give you the scoop on scammers, STDs, and what makes the best first date. Go to my website at drdahlia.com and click on the Baby Boomer's Guide to Online Dating. That's drdahlia.com.
Hi, my name is Lily. My mom and dad used to fight about money all the time. Then one day, I heard them talking about this guy, some uncle I never knew, called Uncle Sam. Well, they say this Uncle Sam guy wanted them to pay him like a gazillion dollars, and they didn't have a gazillion dollars. So they called this company they heard on the radio called the Tax Doctor. And the Tax Doctor worked with Uncle Sam's people. I think they're called the IRS. And they're able to work it out so my mom and dad didn't have to pay Uncle Sam very much money at all. So now mom and dad are happy, and I'm happy too. Thanks, Tax Doctor.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, call now and pay less.
800-215-1727. 800-215-1727. That's 800-215-1727.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product, Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I've treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains the polypeptides from six different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal hair care system is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Tehebo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea helps build the red corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R-T-T-E-A.com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
On the Dr. Dahlia Show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOC-DALI, 1-877-DOCDALI. So Florida has offered to host the 2021 Summer Olympics if Tokyo can't. A Florida official has said the state would be happy to host the 2020 Tokyo Olympics that was pushed into 2021 amid speculation that Japan may have to back out. Jimmy Petronis, Florida's chief financial officer and state fire marshal, on Monday sent a letter to the IOC, International Olympic Committee, head Thomas Bach, saying the Sunshine State has an ideal venue. He said, I'm writing to encourage you to consider relocating the 2021 Olympics from Tokyo, Japan, to the United States of America, and more specifically, to Florida. Now, I don't know if this could tick Japan off. You know, we talked about this. You know, the Olympics usually brings in a lot of money. Sometimes it's devastating because they might spend too much money setting it up. Very devastating currently for Japan because amid the coronavirus pandemic, they don't know if a lot of people are going to travel, be able to travel, and then come and see the festivities. But they said, with media reports of leaders in Japan privately concluding that they are too concerned about the pandemic for the 2021 Olympics to take place, there is still time to deploy a site selection team to Florida. Now, the Summer Olympics, you need pools. What else do they do in the Summer Olympics? They do gymnastics, so you need like a big arena for that. I think they do the shot put and the javelin, and then track. You need a good track. I don't think Florida's going to have to really build a lot. I mean, you know, they're already prepared for the Super Bowl, so using Buck Stadium for that. So Japan has a population of 126 million and has seen a cumulative 369,000 COVID cases with 5,100 deaths. Florida has a population of 21 million, has recorded 1.7 million cases, but 25,000 deaths. Now, again, you know, in terms of, you know, the numbers and the reporting, I know that there's a lot of debate on how specific those numbers were and how transparent places have been with their numbers. So Petronas touted Florida's hotel capacity, transportation infrastructure, and noted that the state had hosted the 2020 NBA bubble and had allowed college and professional sports to continue with spectators. They said, additionally, our international tourist destinations like Disney parks have been open and operating safely in Florida for some time. In fact, Disney serves as an incredible model for how to run a complex organization in the midst of COVID-19. That is one thing that Florida has done. Florida has, as opposed to California, opened up their Disney parks and their amusement parks under COVID restrictions. DeSantis wants to make sure that the Florida economy still can survive, and we see a bunch of New Yorkers now traveling and escaping down to Florida. There's work. Unfortunately, they still have high cases, but it doesn't seem to be higher than California, who's had their Disneyland shuttered pretty tight. So Petronas also touted the strength of the state's vaccine rollout, saying the vaccine moves fast to protect our communities. Apparently, Florida has administered about 53% of the doses it has received. And Governor DeSantis, Florida governor, Republican, has been either lauded for his, you know, reluctance to shut things down like California, but also criticized as well, because allowing businesses to remain open, people think that has caused cases to soar. But I don't think we're seeing similar numbers to, unfortunately, what has happened with California. So, and California has been on the strictest of lockdowns. So, you know, the games have already been postponed. If they are not held this summer, it would be canceled. Tokyo would have another opportunity to host in 2032, because that's the soonest the games have not had selected a city. So last Friday, Japanese officials had insisted, nope, they're still going to hold the games from July 23rd to August 8th. See, if I was Japan, here's my thing. If I already had put the money in, and we already have the structure, and we're seeing that other states can do it, and, you know, we have a vaccine, and we're vaccinating people, I think they can hold them. They may not be getting the money they're expecting, but I think they could use it as a photo opportunity. I think, you know, they could, you know, show how to do an Olympics and social distancing. I think it's an opportunity I wouldn't give up. But if it looks like they're going to lose any more money, or they fear that they're going to have strains that are going to be more severe, yes, I could see them, you know, closing it. So that'll be interesting. They say athlete pressure was seen as a driving force behind last year's postponement. The Australian and Canadian Olympic committees pulled their teams out. days before the decision was made. Australia, Canada, and the U.S. have come out in support of the games. Greek pole vault champion, oh, pole vault, I guess is another one, Katerina Stefanidi, said she would prefer it to be held with no fans than none at all. She had led calls for last year's postponement, but I think some of the athletes are like, wait a second. Okay, I'm getting older. I need to compete now while I can. Top gymnast Simone Biles said the decision had to be based on what's safe for the world, but was adding, hoping the Olympics can be put on, even if it means we're in a bubble. Japanese gymnast star Kohei Uchimura sounded a note of caution, saying the event can't be held if the athletes and the people don't feel the same way. I would think the average athlete would be, let me compete and let me get my, you know, let me get my medal. They don't have to have the parents there. You know, mom could watch virtually. I mean, you know, do you really need spectators? So, well, I'll see what happens. 1-877-DOC-DALI, 1-877-DOCDALI. So the fire that killed Zappos founder Tony Hsieh, they say was possibly caused by, quote, carelessness, intentional act. They say Hsieh was, quote, trapped in the pool room of a Connecticut home by shed doors. So this was very, very odd. Connecticut fire investigators have released several hypotheses in connection with the New London fire, Connecticut, that killed Zappos founder Tony Hsieh late last year. They are considering whether the blaze was caused by the potential misuse of candles, careless disposal of smoking materials, or whether an intentional act by Hsieh was to blame. According to Fox News, the 19-page incident report released by the New London Fire Department on Tuesday details how several people, including Tony Hsieh and his brother Andrew, were staying at the home on Pequot Avenue when a fire broke out shortly before 3:30 a.m. Everybody but Tony was able to escape. He was trapped in a pool room, the report states, by shed doors that were locked with a single keypad deadbolt-style lock set. Now, Hsieh and the group were supposed to leave for Hawaii shortly after the fire ignited, and a limousine had arrived to take them to the airport at 3:20 a.m. Hsieh had been staying in the shed-like room after he and the homeowner and his rumored girlfriend, Rachel Brown, had an argument at 11:30 the night before. She asked him to leave the property until they departed from Maui. Hsieh relocated in the pool room. So the timeline shows that his friends had been checking on him every 10 minutes, including when they told Hsieh it was time to go at 3:20 a.m. At the time, he responded 5 more minutes. But by 3:21 a.m., the carbon monoxide detector's alarm had been activated. By 3:24 a.m., a camera positioned at the shed's entrance had failed because of the fire. Fire department was called at 3:26. Minutes earlier, authorities said a crash could be heard inside the shed. It took 6 minutes from the first fire truck to arrive on scene for responders to get to Hsieh. When firefighters found him, he was in supine position on a blanket, meaning lying down on his back. Hsieh was located with his left side on the blanket and his right side slightly raised with right arm across the chest. Hsieh was facing towards the two doors that were opened by the firefighters. So a sketch released by the fire department shows the flames ignited between Hsieh and his only apartment exit. Candles, a marijuana pipe, and cigarettes were found at the scene. His death had been deemed accidental and caused by complications from smoke inhalation, because I believe he was taken to the hospital. But now people are wondering, what? Especially with this lock. There was also a burnt plastic bag with signed post-it notes in it. Don't go away. We'll be right back. 1-877-DOC-DALI.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
Bags under the eyes, crow's feet, fine lines and wrinkles are things adults complain about as they age. Now, there's Instantly Ageless. It works in minutes and is great for men and women. Here's Dr. Sonia Baccia on The Doctors.
So this is a product we're going to see if it works. It's called Instantly Ageless. And the idea is that it works very quickly. Is you just need a very small amount. And then you apply it to areas where you might be a little bit puffy. I have just looked at what's in this product. And one of them is something called argireline, which is sort of a darling in dermatology right now. It's a peptide or a protein that actually relaxes the muscle. It's also called Botox in a bottle. The other active ingredient in this is silicates, which are almost act like a clay. They're minerals, and they're making the skin sort of tighter. It's actually increasing the surface tension on the skin to push that herniated fat pad back.
Try Instantly Ageless today at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com. 30-day money-back guarantee and preferred price discount at GCNLife.com.